God, may only your word be heard. The news, as we often hear it, at least the headline news, usually seems bad. Bad news sells better than good news. And by bad, I just mean catastrophic or tragic or something that highlights injustice. There is good news, there's a lot of it. But it tends to find its voice on the edges and the margins. I have a practice of listening to NPR in the morning, and it's usually buried down there at about the 20th minute, where there's a story told about somebody's courage or bravery or human decency, and it's usually small, and it always involves relationship, and it often brings me tears. And I don't often always know what that's about, except that it just resonates with what's true and good and real in the world. The gospel, the good news, always, dare I say, always comes from the margins, from the edges. Maybe that's what makes it good. Today, the gospel is good news in the extreme, and it comes from the extreme edge in today's story of the Syrophoenician woman. In fact, it's really, I think, the edgiest story, because here we've got Jesus saying something that is kind of horrifying, at least in our modern ears. Taking the conventional, unexamined position. And the gospel is coming at him, to him, from this person who is a nobody and an outsider, who has no voice, no business talking to him that way. But she does anyway. She comes in front of him, asking for healing for her child. Jesus, to paraphrase or quote this scandalous line, says, "It's not right to give the children's food to the dogs." Straight up. Which is a conventional prevailing view. Kind of in some ways, the group, the insiders group toward the outsiders. She has a very clever response because she doesn't take him on directly. She actually lets his own message, his own core message, be the thing that replies to him. Even the dogs get the scraps under the table. In other words, there's enough. There's more than enough. Don't talk to me about scarcity. There's not enough to give me something now. There's plenty. Which is Jesus' message. Looking back to Isaiah saying, in God's time, there's going to be this abundant table laid that all the nations come to. That's the kind of core-orienting vision of Jesus as he's preaching. I love that today, in this story, the gospel comes from these two directions, really, in this woman. First, it's the message herself that she gives him back, that this is for everyone, and there is enough. Everyone belongs, and there is enough. It's like loaded like a spring, even. And then the messenger herself, this nobody, this no thing, this Gentile. The story even goes, it's so specific of saying the Syrophoenician kind, that outsider. And to be a woman in this time is to be essentially little more than property, like children. This is a man's world. That detail is really important. Liz Edmond, a queer theologian who wrote a book called Queer Virtue, cites that queer theology sees the gospel doing two things. That One or both of them are almost always operative in what Jesus is saying, and the whole gospel is always doing this. Two things. It centers the marginal, and it breaks down false distinctions or binaries or dualities. It finds that third way. It centers the marginal and breaks down false distinctions. And that's exactly what she's doing. She centers herself right in front of Jesus, saying, no, you don't get to look away. You don't get to do this. And she centers his own self, his core message. And then she breaks down this false insider, outsider, children, dogs distinction. Again, with Jesus' own message of there is enough and more than enough. This good news and its method, it's the way that she offers it, is something that it is so important for us to be practicing today, especially today. The world is, I'll say, breaking through something to something else. That's just how evolution works. New things are always coming. It's always changing. But as it does, a lot of the ways that had worked aren't working as well. It doesn't mean they won't always work or new ways come to replace them, but at the moment, some things are breaking down, breaking up, breaking apart, breaking open. Stuff is happening at a pretty quick rate and tumultuous. And so we're logically seeing all these flare-ups, these greater moments of marginalization, of insider-outsider thinking. That's natural, normal, if not comfortable. So it's all the more important for us to engage that in this very particular way. It is so easy to pick a side and start a fight. It's exhausting. It's dirty fuel, but it's really easy. Everybody's doing it. It is much harder to take this other path, to say, okay, just by virtue of being human, I can see some things and I will center some things. Certainly I'll center myself in this picture. But then there's, you know, I can still see my hands, but at some point I can't. My peripheral vision even gives out. So there's things that are on the edges that I can't see so well, and then there's some things I don't see at all. I may tell myself a story that that's not true, that I can see everything I need to see, but that's not true. And then I'll create another story about these are the good things and these are the bad things, this, not that. And it will all make sense as long as I keep this central, myself central in the story. So to take this other way of saying, what am I not seeing? It's the first best question to say. What am I missing? What is this other voice that I really am not happy hearing saying that I actually need to center myself on? And then other voices. Suddenly you realize, oh wait, I can do this. We can all start to take in a greater whole, which is how God sees, by definition. God holds everything, and so of course sees everything in wholes. And that's our job, is to start seeing like God sees. And as we do that, and as we say that, that, it's like yeast in the dough, starts to change everything. This also works in our own personal lives. You know, wow, there are a lot of things I don't want to know about myself or see about myself, or things that I can see that I don't like about myself and want to change and try to change, and then it gets worse and exhausting. So that's the same old thinking, but to start to turn toward it, to just be kind to that thing, to notice it. Doesn't justify it, but just to let it be, and then see more, see more, see more, and not make a judgment, this or that judgment about it. We all know this is what our spiritual directors and psychologists tell us is what heals us, is what takes us into bigger space to see more. When Jesus hears the Syrophoenician woman's response back to him, even the dogs, he immediately brings a different response. He changes his mind, which is the definition of repent. Repent is not about feeling bad. It means changing your mind, changing your orientation. What a great way to follow Jesus, to change our minds a lot, over and over and over again. What a great example, something to follow. Every time we see a larger truth, we are repenting with Jesus into this wider world, this whole sea. So as you walk this week, as we go on now with this Syrophoenician woman added to our consciousness, walking with that daring response, practice your own spiritual peripheral vision and focus of practicing just turning toward whatever's on the edges. In some ways, it's the easiest thing to do. You can know right away what's on the edge or what you don't want to see, what you wish were different. To just notice it, but without the, I got to make a decision about this, whether it's good or bad. And to do that in prayer so that you're with God in that noticing and see what happens when we question our assumptions and learn to see what's on the edges of our sight. As we mark Labor Day, what a great synergy to do this. We are remembering the people who are never remembered, the ones who work while others sleep, as the prayer says it, those who are never acknowledged for their labor, and there's a lot of us. So hold that, another chance to simply hold and see. And it's in these small actions of centering the marginal, bringing to our center of attention what we don't see, and letting go of the judgments of what belongs and what doesn't, that changes our awareness, like yeast in the dough, changes the world around us. God is remaking the world, remaking it through this process. Out of this bread making, spiritual bread making, comes the kingdom of God.